Verse 5, just to remind us of what we're discussing, then we'll finish the purport in verse 5 today, hopefully. Page 12, read verse 5, English translation again. This verse is describing the external plane of Gokul. There is a mysterious quadrangular place named Shwetadweep surrounding the outskirts of Gokul. Shwetadweep is divided into four parts on all sides: the abode of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha are separately located in each of these four parts. These four divided abodes are enveloped by the fourfold human requirements: dharma, artha, kama, moksha, right, wealth, passion, liberation, and by the four Vedas: Rig, Sam, Yajur, Atharva, which deal with the mantra and which are the basis of achievements of the fourfold mundane requirements. In other words, if you want to achieve those things, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, then you have to have these Vedas with all these mantras. The 10 tridents are fixed in 10 directions, including the zenith and the nadir. In other words, Lord Shiva is there as the kshetrapal. He's protecting the kshetra. What kshetra? The spiritual world. With what? With his trishun. In this case, his trishun represents all the ten directions. The trishun represents the three modes of nature and the three phases of time. So in the past, no one got into the spiritual world. In the future, no one gets into the spiritual world. Now no one gets into the spiritual world unless they're free from the trigunas, right? Vishuddha sattva. The eight directions are decorated with the eight jewels of the mystic cities, which are analogized here with these eight jewels: Mahapadma, Padma, Shank, Makar, Kachap, Mukunda, Kundanila. There are 10 protectors, digpals, of the 10 directions in the form of mantra. The associates of the Lord in different colors, such as blue, yellow, red, and white, and the extraordinary potencies bearing the name Vimala, shine on all sides. In other words, the Lord and his different Chaturvyuha expansions, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, are situated in these four different abodes surrounding Gokul, and they're all surrounded by their associates, who are different color bodies, spiritual bodies, and the 16 potencies of the Lord, beginning with Bimala, like Shri, Bhu, Nila, etc., Tushti, Pushti, Gir, like Giriraj, Gir. So now we're discussing the purport. We're on page 15, near the bottom. Now we're going to start talking about Shwetadweep. We'll again repeat and describe how Shwetadweep describes the abodes or the spiritual residences of Vasudev and Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. But also now we're going to find out how Shwetadweep is another name for Nityanavadweep, or the island of the golden avatar, Shweta. Shweta means white, or Gora, Goranga, fair. So Shwetadweep is also Navadweep. So that's why the purport is changing. You wonder why all of a sudden the purport's changing and talking about Krishna wanting to taste Radharani and Krishna's reason for Goranga's appearance. It's because Jiva Goswami and our other Gaudiya Vaishnavacharyas are explaining the ultimate meaning of Shwetadweep from all levels. The gist of the whole matter is this: Goloka as Shwetadweep is eternally manifest because the pleasure enjoyment of the rasa could not be had in its entirety in the pastimes of Krishna and Braj. We mentioned that yesterday, Parishishta Lila, how Radha and Krishna had desires to fulfill, like an epilogue to a book or an appendix to a book, so Braj has an appendix to it, has an addition to it, and that addition is called Shwetadweep. And there, Krishna, the Ek-Atma, Dui-Deha, become Ek-Deha, Ek-Atma. Radha and Krishna have two forms and one heart, become one form with one heart, Gauranga. So that's Shwetadweep or Navadweep. Krishna accepts the emotions and effulgence of his predominated moiety, Sri Radhika. and makes an eternal pastime for the enjoyment of Krishna Ras there. There means Navadvip. You can also say this last couple of sentences like this. The underlying purport is that although Krishna enjoys his pastimes in Braj, he is nonetheless unable to taste the joy of the topmost divine ecstasy. Therefore, he accepts the heart and the halo. Nice expression. Krishna accepts the heart of Radharani and the halo. The halo means the duty or the effulgence. Kanti, we say Kanti. Radha Kanti, the effulgence. The heart and the halo, the pran and the Kanti. Radha's pran, her heart. So, Krishna accepts the heart and the halo. The halo means like the jyoti, the effulgence. Like in English, they say halo. We say Jesus or Mary paintings, they have these little arcs of yellow around them. That's called the halo, right? The halo. So Krishna accepts the heart and halo of Sri Radhika, who is the female reservoir of his love, or shelter, or abode of his love. For this purpose, Goloka manifests eternally as Shweta Dweep. Shweta Dweep means Navadweep. Is that clear? Everyone knows? Okay. So now those three reasons are, we're reminded again of what's told in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Chandra coveting to taste the following pleasures. In other words, these are three treasures locked in the heart of Srimati Radharani. That Krishna was always trying to, he was always amazed and perplexed by these three treasures. And these three treasures locked deep in the heart of Radharani were always mystified Krishna. They bewildered Krishna, although he's all-knowing. These treasures were enough to bewilder Krishna, so that he would become controlled by these three treasures. And these are the three treasures that he entered the heart of Radharani, he plundered the treasure chest of her heart. And these are the three things that he came out with. It's explained that when Krishna went into the house, like some thief goes into the house to steal something in your house, and then he runs out, and somehow maybe you're on the roof when he runs out, and you want to throw something at him, but all you have is a can of white paint or a black paint or something. So he runs out, and you throw from the roof, and he gets covered with paint. You know, his body gets covered. So the Acharyas explained that when Krishna entered the heart of Radharani to steal her treasures, he was blue. But when he came out of her heart and passed through her golden halo or through effulgence, then his blue color got lost, and he became Gauranga. So, you know, he went in like a thief and he stole these treasures. But then when he came out of her heart, then he would say, "Hey, what happened? You know, well, I'm no more Sham. Now I'm Gauri. Gauri Sham." So these are the three treasures he took. One is that, what is the great glory of Radha's love? In other words, the nature of the greatness of the love of Radha. What is the great glory of Radha's love? Number two, the nature of the wonderful sweetness of his love, of which Sri Radhika has got the taste. In other words, what is my extraordinary loving sweetness and charm that Radha enjoys so much? You know, I mean, I didn't think I was so special. What is it about me that she's just completely crazy about me? I mean, she just, you know, Krishna's thinking, you know, no one else is so, I mean, Subal, Sridhar, they love me so much, but like, Radharani, she exhibits such ecstasies. What is it about me? I mean, what does she derive? What does she taste? So that's the second thing, right? Then the third thing is the nature of the exquisite joy that accrues to Sri Radha by her realization of the sweetness of his love. In other words, what is the joy that Radharani feels by experiencing in other words, what is my sweetness and charm? What is it that she's seeing and she's experiencing? And then what is she tasting by that experience? What does she taste that creates such happiness? So that's, what is the joy that Radharani feels by experiencing my sweetness and charm? So yearning to taste these three sentiments, Krishna took his birth, on page 16, like the moon in the ocean of the womb of Sri Sachi Devi, right? Gaurachand. The womb, the ocean is the womb of Sachi Devi, like we have Krishna Chandra who's rising from the ocean of the Vrijvasi's hearts. Just like an eastern horizon, you'll see the sun rises out of the ocean if you go to Dwarka's side. You see that this, or no, which side? I guess it's Puri side. I get confused my direction. Puri's east? Yeah, Puri side. You go to Puri side and then the moon is rising there. And so when Gaurachandra was there and he saw the moon rising, then he thought of all the rising hearts of all the Brijbasis. And so his heart became stirred with the waves of praying, because the Sthayi Bhava is like an ocean. But just like when the full moon rises in the ocean, the whole ocean becomes disturbed. It becomes higher high tides and lower low tides. And the ocean starts churning with waves and high waves. And so the same thing, the ocean of Lord Gaurasundara's heart, when he sees the moon rising over the sea, the Indian Ocean and Puri and Sharad Purnima, or when his love rises in the heart of Subal or Sridham, or Lalita or Vishaka or Radhika, when that love rises in their heart, that love is Krishna, their love and their affection for Krishna. Then it brings with it so many waves of bhavas, anubhav and vibhav and vyavachari bhavs. And so that's Krishna Chandra. So that's what's being said here, because the Sanskrit describes that. The moon in the ocean of the womb of Sachi Devi. So that same moon, Krishna Chandra, who was playing in Vrindavan, he appeared as Gaura Chandra, right? What is our temple in Mayapur? What is it called? Chandrodaya. Mayapur Chandrodaya. Udaya means to rise up. Like Udilo Arana Purava Bhagi Dvijamani Gora Amani Jage. So, Mayapur Chandrodaya. He's that moon rising over Mayapur. And when he rises, when he appeared, then everyone's heart became disturbed, right? Just like all the Navadvip Naris, the Naris of Navadvip and the ladies and gentlemen and young boys, everybody became completely disturbed. When Gaurasundara would go out for his evening kirtan, he would sometimes wander through the streets of the evening kirtan with torches, because they didn't have like these, you know, long strings of guys with lights and gas lights on, or, you know, electric lights. Like you see weddings going around Vrindavan, the guys have these lights with, you know, connected like this, big string of guys carrying lights and the horse and all that thing. But they had torches. And they'd go out on the streets, and Gaurachandra would lead the kirtan, and all the people would come out. It says that the old people, the young people, even deaf and dumb and blind and lame people would all run out to see Gaurasundara's kirtan. Now, how are you going to see it if you're blind? But the blind people say, "Take me, take me, take me. I hear the kirtan of Gauranga. I want to see, I want to see." And then their brothers say, "What are you? You can't see, you're blind. Anyway, take me." they want. So everyone would go. The blind would go, the lame would go. Everyone would go to see Gaurasundara's kirtan. So this is when he was like the moon of everyone's heart. Should be the moon of our hearts too, no? Prabhupada told us. He said, "This is the headquarters. This is the heart quarters, right? Mayapur headquarters, it means heart, because your head is where your heart is, right? Ultimately. So the heart quarters is Mayapur, so there's the Mayapur Chandra. So in our hearts, Mayapur Chandrodaya, he should be rising in our hearts." So we'll just see what we can do here about finishing this purport. Herein, or let's see, the esoteric desire of Sri Jiva Goswami Prabhu is herein made manifest. And these commentaries are basically by Jiva Goswami, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has translated them from Sanskrit into English. For this is an English book. He wrote this in English. That's why it's High English. And then Prabhupada printed it as it is, as his guru wrote it. So this is the esoteric. We talk about, someone said, "Oh, these classes are too esoteric." Well, it's right in the purport. This is the esoteric desire, Jiva Goswami. What is that esoteric desire? To reveal in the Brahma Samhita that, see, even Lord Brahma is talking about Gauranga avatar. He's talking about Shwetadweep, and Shwetadweep is Navadweep, and Navadweep is Gaurasundara, and like that. So, the esoteric desire of Jiva Goswami is herein made manifest. In other words, herein means I just described what it is. That this Shwetadweep is the place where this is Parishishta Leela of Krishna as Gauranga, and that Shwetadweep is eternally manifested in Gokul, which is described in this verse, right? Now, in the Veda, it is also said, let me tell you the mystery. In Navadweep, the identical Golok on the bank of the Ganges, Gaurachandra, who is Govinda, the entity of pure cognition, who has two hands, who is the soul of all souls, who has the supreme great personality as the great meditative sannyasin, and who is beyond the threefold mundane attributes, makes the process of pure unalloyed devotion manifest in this mundane world. He is the sole Godhead. He is the source of all forms, the supreme soul, and is Godhead manifesting himself in yellow, red, blue, and white colors. He is a direct entity of pure cognition, full of the spiritual potency, chit shakti. He is the figure of a devotee. He is a bestower of devotion, and knowable or cognizable by devotion alone. The selfsame Gaurachandra, who is no other than Krishna himself, in order to taste the rasa of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Golok, is manifest in the eternal realm of Navadvip, identical with Golok. This is also clear from the Vedic declarations, Asan Varnastraya Krishna Varnam Trisa Krishna. These are different. Actually, these are lines from different shlokas. The Krishna Varnam Trisa Krishna, that's from Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Yata Pashya Pashyati Rukma Varnam, that's from Mahabharata. Mahan Prabhur Vai, I think that's Svetashvara Upanishad. And various other statements of the theistic scriptures. In other words, he quoted one line from different Vedic scriptures, such as Bhagavat Puran, Svetashvatura Upanishad, and like that, and Mahabharata. Just as Sri Krishna had his birth in the mundane Gokul through the agency of Yogmaya, who is the primal energy of the Supreme Lord, right? Internal pleasure potency, another way of saying it. So with her help, Yogamaya's help, Krishna manifests his lila of his birth in the womb of Sachi Devi in Navadvip on this mundane plane, earth. These are the absolute truths of spiritual science and not the outcome of imaginary speculation under the thraldom of the deluding energy of Godhead. So that is the end of the purport. So one thing is that in discussing in this purport, we're hearing what we're going to discuss now is something about over the next half hour that we're going to discuss the surrounding quadrangular area, what it is and what it means, and something about Gokul and the spiritual world, and the comparison between Mathura, Dwarka, and Vrindavan. And before we start that, we're going to speak a little bit about Purushottam Kshetra. Because Purushottam Kshetra is also indirectly spoken of here, because we discussed Navadvip. And we discussed Dwarka. So Dwarka is an interesting flavor of Dwarka, which is known as this... Sometimes you hear the term Dwarkapuri. Sometimes they say Dwarkapuri. Because Puri means city. In one level, the word Puri means city. Like Pur, Tripura, Tripurasura. There was one demon, Tripurasura, that was controlling three cities or something. And I believe Lord Shiva killed him. Tripurasura. So therefore, Lord Shiva is known as Tripurari. Right? Tripurari, who kills the demon who took over three cities. Tripura. So Tripurari is the name for Lord Shiva. But this Puri, when we say Dwarka Puri, it also refers to Jagannath Puri. It's kind of like a connection. There's Dwarka, then there's Puri. So there's some description of that here. What is the special significance of Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri? Which is the of these three, Mathura, Dwarka, Puri, which one is more important to us? How many say Mathura? Raise their hand. I'm just showing you what it means to raise your hand. Now, Mathura is important. If you're a Mata Mangal, you can get some Sitafal there. You can get some good sweets over there. So I'm just raising my hand thinking of that in that regard. No. How many think that Mathura is important? Raise your hand. The most important, Mathura, Dwarka, or Puri? How about Dwarka? You know, Dwarkadish, Rupini Dwarkadish, you know. Raise your hand. How many are too tired to raise their hand? Anyway, obviously the answer is Puri. So that's why we want to know about that. For Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, Jagannath Puri is much more significant than Mathura and Dwarka. Why? In Purushottam Kshetra, Sri Khetra, Vipralamba Khetra, Jagannath Puri Dham, etc., the Lord is also worshipped along with Sri. Sri means Lakshmi. So when you go to the site of Jagannath Temple, you see there's a big temple of Lakshmi Devi, Sri. And it says that there's 752 stoves inside the kitchen, and Lakshmi Devi expands herself into 750 portly Brahmins. Is that right? Stout and portly Brahmins. She expands herself into 752 stout and portly Brahmins, and every day they're cooking for, not every day, but on occasion, there are that many, cooking for Jagannath. So Lakshmi is cooking through all these thousands of, you know, these hundreds of expansions. And these cooks are Brahmin cooks. So they say everything, all the Jagannath Mahaprasadam, is cooked by Lakshmi Devi. So she's very much there. And she gets very angry when Vasudeva Krishna, when her Dwarkadish Krishna runs away to Vrindavan. And she comes out to beat up all of Krishna's chokidars and servants on the Hara Panchami day. And that's a nice leela also. So she's there. In Purushottam Kshetra, the Lord is also worshipped along with Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Just like in Dwarka, Dwarkadish is also worshipped with great opulence, surrounded by so many goddesses of fortune. But the major difference between Lord Jagannath and Dwarkadish is... what? What is the major difference? I said Lakshmi's in both places. Lakshmi Devi's in Jagannath Puri. Lakshmi Devi's in Dwarka. Krishna's in the big opulence in Puri. Chapan Bhog. He's not just eating a little, you know, little fruits from the tree or a little pilu fruit or a little guava or something from the forest. You know, no, he's eating Chapan Bhog. You know, ghee, deep fried, you know. Pakora, samosa, kachori. What is the major difference? Because there's opulence in both places, and the difference is that Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri is Lord Jagannath is Lord Dwarka. Lord Jagannath is Lord Dwarkadish, remembering his Vrindavan Leela, and he's feeling great pains of separation from Vrindavan. That form is Lord Jagannath. So that's the difference between Krishna and Puri and Krishna in Dwarka. Krishna in Dwarka's forms, he's Vasudeva Krishna. That same Vasudeva Krishna manifests in Mathura, then he goes off and the same Vasudeva Krishna manifests his Dwarka Leela, right? So he's there, he's just enjoying. But we'll read on some more. So Lord Jagannath is feeling or great pains of separation from Vrindavan. That form is Lord Jagannath. In Dwarka and Mathura, one will not develop a desire to see Krishna Leela in Vrindavan. This is what our acharyas say. We just have to accept. Because, you know, we can say, well, look, you know, I'm living in Vrindavan. And I haven't even developed a desire to see Krishna's Leela. I want to go to the movies in Mathura and go to Delhi, see a special movie, what to speak, or watch TV and my satellite dish. And I have so many desires, but I haven't developed a desire to enter Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan. At least the acharyas say that this place is anukul for such a thing. That's why Rupa Goswami explains that Brajavas, Mathura Mandalavas, is the most conducive thing for entering Krishna's Leela. Either physically or mentally, or most importantly, mentally, to desire to enter Vrindavan, desire to live in Krishna's pastimes, and to live here, and like that. But the acharyas say that if you go to Mathura or Dwarka, you won't develop a desire to see Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. But when you go to Puri, you will. But when one sees Jagannath in Jagannath Puri, surely that devotee will develop a desire to see Krishna in Vrindavan. Of course, that example is there in Brihad Bhagavatamrita with Gopu Kumar. It's not Goswami. Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So when one sees Lord Jagannath, surely develop a desire to see Krishna in Vrindavan. Even if you don't see Lord Jagannath on a regular basis, if you just go there and see the chakra every day, or see Patita Pavan, or if you only eat Jagannath Mahaprasadam, because you're also seeing Jagannath there. If you take Jagannath Mahaprasadam, you'll develop an intense desire to want to go to Vrindavan and see Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. That is at least the experience of the many devotees that have done such activities. They're just partaking the prasadam, and only Jagannath's prasadam. Because what is the prasadam of Jagannath? It's just like a snake is full of poison. So his whole body is full of poison, especially his teeth. So if you eat snakes, it's not too good for you. If you eat eating cobras, it's not good for digestion, unless you're a peacock. Because peacock in its stomach has all these kind of chemicals to neutralize the poison of eating the cobra. But we don't. So you eat the cobra, and you'll die just from eating the cobra. So what happens is that when someone is, like they say, that if your wife is angry, it's a good time to go to some of your brother's house for dinner. This is just mundane psychology. Not to pick on wives, but, that's what they said. Or say the husband's cooking. Well, either way, you want to change gender. But we're just, the wife has to be cooking in this example. But the wife is cooking, and she's really angry at the husband because he hasn't, paid any attention to her, and he's, just being mean and nasty and, being not a good person. She's really angry for whatever reason. That anger from her mind, it goes into the food, right? Then he eats and goes, ugh. He becomes sick. He becomes sick because there's a transfer of consciousness. So consciousness, which is such a subtle thing because it's the energy of the Atma, it's actually a spiritual energy which is mixed up with this modes of nature. But the basis of consciousness is the soul, which is pure. So that consciousness, which emanates from the soul, the consciousness is full of bhav and full of feelings and love. When that mixes up with the modes of nature, it expresses itself in all kinds of mundane emotions and sentiments. But then, consciousness enters into matter. Matter and consciousness, right? They're intertwined. One is affected by the other. So your consciousness affects the food. Just like when you're cooking in pure consciousness, your consciousness, the food is a material energy. It is some carbon and some hydrogen, nitrogen, sulfur and glycogen and fructose and glucose and all these different things that make all these foodstuffs. But it becomes transformed, just like Prahlad Maharaj. My father, you've gone to so much trouble for me and you made me this nice fruit juice. Oh, it's so kind of you, And he looks and sees the nice fruit, mango juice. It's pure mango juice, really good, chosa mango. Looks really thick and nice and chilled and cold. But it's 50%, it's 250 grams of cyanide inside. 200 grams of cyanide and 50 grams of mango pulp. Fruity or something, a little mango pulp and all water. So it's all cyanide, totally poison. So the material energy that's inside this glass can kill 1,000 men. So then Prahlad, because he's in Shantaras, so he has this Chinmaya consciousness, right? He has this pure consciousness. He says, Sri Vishnu, Hare Krishna, whatever he says. And he holds it up like that, then, wow, it's really great. Oh, thank you very much, Father and Father's here. waiting for him to just die. So what happened was because his consciousness was so high that it took that loathing, that vish, and turned that poison into amrit. Right? That's a transformation, biological transformation. It's called Chinmaya transformation. Transforming poison into transcendental reality. Right? That's a prime example in 7th canto of Bhagavatam, of the principle. Everyone heard of that example? So in the same thing, when Jagannath is eating, and he's feeling like that, and thinking like that, and his consciousness is full of viraha bhav, so when he's eating the food, his consciousness is transforming that food that Lakshmi cooks with so much opulence, and filling his saliva is full of viraha bhav. His saliva of Lord Jagannath, his adhara amrita, which mixes into the foodstuff which you buy in the Anand Bazaar, Jagannath Puri. When you're eating Jagannath Prasadam, what is it full of? It's full of some kind of consciousness. Whose consciousness? Krishna consciousness. What kind of Krishna consciousness? Viraha Prem. Separation from Vrindavan. Because every, you know, particle of Jagannath's body is simply pulsating with feelings of separation from Braj. That's why he's like, right? There's Mahabhav Prakash. There's one in the associate of Lord Chaitanya, one of the Arya Vaishnavas, which is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat. His name is Kanai Kuntia. He wrote a book 500 years ago in the Aryan language. It's called Mahabhav Prakash, which our Guru Bhai, Gaur Govinda Swami, because I met the person who gave him the book in Bhuvaneshwar. It has the original copy of it. It was written by personal associate Lord Chaitanya, Mahabhav Prakash, and here he writes all the esoteric explanation about why Lord Jagannath is like that, and it's revealed in this book called Embankment of Separation. I think everyone's familiar. It's a classic book by Gaur Govinda Swami. So the point we're making is when you go to Mathura or you go to Dwarka and you see the Lord worship there or you live there, you won't develop a desire by living in those dhams to see Krishna's Braja Leela. But if you go to Jagannath Puri and you just eat the prasadam, what to speak if you take part in Rath Yatra, which is bringing Krishna to Vrindavan, and living there and hearing the katha of Lord Chaitanya, you'll develop an intense desire to see, and you also develop the adhikar, desire and qualification by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the prasad of Jagannath to see the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan, Nidiban, Sevakun, Shringarbhat, Rasastali. So this is some difference. But when one sees Lord Jagannath, surely the devotee will develop a desire to see Krishna and Vrindavan. When Lord Dwarkadish feels an intense desire to see Srimati Radharani and the gopis in Vrindavan, that form is known as Lord Jagannath. This is an interesting point. Whenever Lord Dwarkadish sees a painting of Lord Krishna, his mind becomes completely attracted. Because this is leading us into the discussion about the Aishwarya aspect, which I think will probably be tomorrow. The Aishwarya aspect of Vrindavan, Dwarka, and Mathura, which are all part of this Gokul Dham, basically. So here it's described, the Acharyas, that when Krishna is living in Dwarka, sometimes some different artists are traveling here and there. 5,000 years ago, the artist comes to Vrindavan, he's painting Krishna in Vrindavan, you know, with his morpunk, his, you know, with his peacock feather and his, you know, turban and looking so beautiful. Then they have a roll of paintings they put under their arm, and then they travel to Dwarka, they go to all these big kings. They got all these big kings in Rajasthan and Dwarka and Madhya Pradesh, and they say, "Hey, look, see, I'm an artist from Vrindavan. I painted these paintings. We want to buy some. You have so many walls here." They say, "Oh, okay, I'll buy it." So when they go to Dwarka and they show, when Krishna sees, sometimes when Dwarkadish sees a painting of Govindaji or Gopinath in Vrindavan or Gopal, he becomes completely attracted. He says, "Oh, so beautiful. Who is this?" And they say, "Oh, this is Krishna in Vrindavan." The sweet form of Krishna is the most attractive of all forms of Godhead. Even the Lord of Dwarka becomes attracted. So, this is something about Purushottam Kshetra. Now, the verse is talking about the surrounding quadrangle, right? The quadrangle, which means the abodes of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. So, there's something we can discuss about that too. Can read about. Any questions about this? Some points we made? So if you're debating about where to go, if you want to go anywhere, of course better stay in Vrindavan. Don't go anywhere. But if you have to go somewhere, you want to go somewhere, you can consider whether you want to go Dwarka side or Mathura side. I don't think you go to Mathura. Or Puri. Puri is very, is anukul. It's favorable for devotion. Especially and the platform of Purvarag, the platform of Vasadaka, awakening, feeling separation from Krishna and developing his attraction for Krishna. Because Brajabhumi, Vrindavan, is considered Siddhastali. This is where the Mahatmas come and attain their perfection. And they reach that point of ripening. It's, in other words, it's almost like you have a tree, starts with a seed, and then it has to, there's a long way between a seed of a tree and the final sweet fruit of a tree, a sweet mango. So like Mayapur and Jagannath Puri are places where the seed grows into a tree very quickly and very easily by the mercy of Audaryadham. That's why the Puri, the Mayapur Vasis, every year they were going 4 months to Puri. Mayapur, Puri. Mayapur, Puri. They would go for Chaturmasya to Puri to be with Mahaprabhu for 4 months. So 8 months in Mayapur, 4 months in Puri. So these places, these two dhams, are very conducive for developing the tree of bhakti, the bhakti lata bija. Planting the seed in good ground, having it develop a nice trunk and firm and strong branches and twigs and leaves. And then you get to the point that the fruit is produced. You know, no cows have eaten the tree, nothing, everything is now strong. Now, when the green mango is there, now you bring that green mango, you transplant the tree from Mayapur and Puri, and you plant it in Braj. So now there's not much time between green mango and yellow, red mango, no? Doesn't take much time till it becomes ripe. So this is what Acharyas show, this example, that this is often done. That these, because these dhams, they create the strength of Shraddha, Mayapur, and they create that mood of Purvarag, or separation, which is so favorable for a devotee to attain Prema Bhakti. And then you come to Vrindavan. And also, it creates that purity, that absolute humility, and that purity of heart and mind. So when one enters the Siddhastali of Vrindavan, or this Leela Bhumi or Brajabhumi, he will go there, and, because Brajabhumi means go to that land. Braja means go there. Brajabhumi, go to that land, and don't leave that land. Don't go to the land and make offenses there and go to hell. You know, you come Brajabhumi, then you go Narabhumi. You go to the land of hell. And you go there, you go to Brajabhumi, and you perfect yourself and you realize yourself, then you go to that Brajabhumi. This is the idea of Brajabhumi. Going to the land of no return, right? They say sometimes in children's stories, the land of no return. So when one is qualified, then he doesn't return to the material. He comes here and he leaves. When he leaves this place of Brajabhumi, he goes to the spiritual world, or he goes to the manifest lila of Krishna in the material world, to the prakat lila. First you have to enter the prakat lila in the material world, and then in Vastu city you leave that and go to the spiritual world. It's a spiritual world because Krishna is there, but it's manifested in the material universe. This is explained. So the quadrangular area we'll discuss next. It's like if you have a house, you have a bedroom, and you have your bedroom, then you have a veranda, you know, veranda off your bedroom. Now is that veranda part of your bedroom, or is it outside your bedroom, or is it adjoining your bedroom? It depends on how you look at it. Because sometimes in a summer day, in the winter you're sleeping in your bedroom. But in the summer you take your bed out onto the veranda and you sleep under the stars. So the veranda, in one sense, depends on how you look at it, the veranda of the bedroom may appear like a separate place or an appendage to the house or something external. So that's exactly what Swetadweep is, or Navadweep and Vrindavan are just like that. One's like a bedroom, one's like a veranda. You know, they're going one within the other. When Lord Chaitanya's in Navadvip, one second he's in Navadvip, the next second he's in Braj. He goes in Srivastava's six seasonal gardens, he's wandering the gardens, and then by Surav Damodar's bhajans, next thing he's in the kunjas of the Sakis in Radhakund. And he's there. He's fully there. And they're fully there. They're identifying. Then the next second, they're back in Navadvip. So it's like, you know, you're on the kid on the TV, you know, channel 2, channel 4, the soccer on this and then that, on the you know, he's changing but one to the other, watching different shows and different TV channels. So they're just like that. They're just going one to the other. There's not like, there's no, they're really, the center of the lotus is Brajagokul, but the center of the lotus is Brajagokul and Shwetadweep or Navadweep is in the center, this Shwetadweep. It's right in the center of the center. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you can't really say which came first. Who came first? There was Radha and Krishna, and then they came together, you know, they became one, and there was Gauranga, or was there first Gauranga, then Gauranga expanded into Radha and Krishna? There's no answer. There's no answer. You can't say. You can't. Oh, no. No, 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya came. But 5,000 years ago, Krishna was here. So, you know, Krishna was first. No, that's your little puny brain time. You know, your puny brain time. You have the ability to measure from here to here. So how many? That's only a few centimeters. And you're trying to measure eternity with, you know, the space between your ears. It's not possible. Vishnu Chakravarti says that trying to understand the spiritual energy is like trying to accommodate an elephant on a tea saucer. You know, you have a little saucer, a little plate for a cup of tea, and you have an elephant, you know, elephant, and you say, oh, please sit down. our brain is like a little tali, a little tiny plate, and the spiritual reality is like a huge elephant. So it's a very funny analogy. He said, trying to understand the spiritual reality is like trying to accommodate, which means sit or receive, an elephant on a tea saucer, on a little plate you put a teacup on, you know? You know, a little teacup? Impossible. So it's only by, you know, divine intervention or by dissension. Golokara Premadana, Harinama Sankirtan. When Goloka has to descend into our heart. This lotus that we saw, this yantra we see outside, it has to manifest within ourselves. This is the whole idea of bhakti. When Prabhupada was asked in New York, they said, "Hey Prabhupada, is Krishna in our hearts?" "Yes." "Well, if Krishna's there, is Radharani there?" "Yes, Krishna's with Radharani." "Well, if Radha and Krishna are there in our hearts, that means Vrindavan is also there, and, you know, of course. How can they, must be a place for them to have their pastimes. So in our hearts is Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan." "Yes." Or let's say, in your heart, Prabhupada. "Our heart is Second Avenue. Our heart is New York City." So tomorrow it looks like we'll discuss the quadrangular area. Is there any other question? Yes. Okay. It's known to those who know. Why is it a place of great separation? Because every night, since for the last thousand years, Shrita Kamala Kucha Mandala Hey, Shrita Kucha Kamala Mandala Hey, Shrita Mandala Hey. Right? Jayadeva Goswami's song. So every night for the last 1,000 years, they're singing for Lord Jagannath, Gita Govinda. And Gita Govinda is Pralaya Payodi Dritavan Nasi Vedam, right? Das Avatar Stotra and his song, Srita Kamala Kuchala Mandalahe, right? It was in our old Vaishnav songbook. Somehow or other, it kind of floated out of the songbook. But in the early days, it was there, and it's such a beautiful song. And when you see some of these Leela troops in Vrindavan, Fata Krishna, that's the Mangala Charana that they sing. And then when they start the Leela, whatever it's going to be, Gopal Leela, Vatsali Leela, whatever Leela it's going to be, they start by dancing and they sing this song of Jayadeva Goswami. So this song and the whole Gita Govinda, which is being recited and enacted by dancing Devadasis 300 years ago, is all depicting this separation. It's Purva Rag, separation between Radha and Krishna, Radharani. They're meeting, and then this is Vasant Ras, where Radharani is feeling great separation from Krishna, then they meet and like that. So before Lord Chaitanya, who was 500 years ago, 500 years before that, in Jagannath Puri, there was intense Vipralamba Bhav. And if you look at the art of Orissa, because we've kind of been around Orissa a little bit lately, last few years, they have very, very ancient sculptures of Radha and Krishna. And so many old paintings of Ras Leela and many, which if you look all over UP, all over this Ayodhya, all over this area, you can't find anything old sculptures you find in any kind of archaeological dig. All you find is Buddha. 2,000 years old, or, you know, whenever Buddha was, 2,000 years ago. So you don't find anything. Sometimes you find Vishnu. You don't find any statues of Radharani. It's like when the Goswamis, when they dug up, when they had the dreams of different deities like Madhavendra Puri, beginning with Madhavendra Puri, whom we're familiar with, Haridas Swami, Madhavendra Puri, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. Who did they see? Who did they unfind? Who did they excavate and find in the Braj? Who? Did they find Radharani? No. Radharani came from Puri. Govindaji's Radharani was being worshipped as Lakshmi in the Jagannath Puri temple. Then one night she said, Hey, Gajapati Maharaj, Jeev Jago, in his dream. Says, you know, they're worshipping me for so long, I don't know how long, as Lakshmi. But I'm not Lakshmi. I'm Radharani. See, I'm Radharani. I want to dance with Govindaji and he's in Vrindavan. And why you keep me here as a prisoner? So he woke up and then had Vajari whatever his name was. He woke up and then they met and they say, hey, I had this dream. Me too. And they both had the same dream. And then Radharani was brought from there and she's with Govindaji in Jaipur. That's why she's about this much shorter than Govindaji. Because they weren't made at the same time. So, very, very old culture of worship of Radha and Krishna. So, your answer to your question, was there Vipralamba Bhav? There definitely was Vipralamba Bhav. Not only in Puri, but all throughout Orissa. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Mancha Kalpa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Mahesh.